You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Tilted Landshark podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Welcome, everybody, to the Tilted Landshark podcast brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Oh, boy. We had playoff ultimate frisbee. That flat ball. I'm one of your hosts, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn. I've got with me Zach, the pin clicker of Avella. What is up, Zach?
What is up, Chase? Yeah, sorry for all the listeners who actually hear that on the feed. It's my fidget toy. I have a pin here. I like to fidget.
Mad respect for not using a spinner, by the way. Fidget cube or.
Once I got out of grad school, I grew out of that. I kind of, you know, I'm an adult now, so I went to pins.
So you went to
pin a notepad with me.
So now he uses a Pilot G2, folks. That's all right. All right. How was your weekend, buddy?
Weekend was good. In terms of betting, it was very 50-50. As a pod, you know, we'll have to bounce back for week two of the playoffs. But outside of that, dude, had some fun at a wedding out in the middle of nowhere. What a lot to learn from that wedding.
Yeah.
Family was crazy and everything, but it was still a good time.
Open bar, cash bar?
Open bar.
Ooh.
Not full bar. I say open bar. Beer and wine.
Beer and wine. Did anyone just go full shit show?
Yeah, the entire family of both the bride and the groom. It was a good old Southern wedding. I'll tell you that much.
There we go.
Yeah, it was a hoot.
There's someone we still have in a dinner. We did like at my wedding, we did beer, wine, a signature cocktail, which was Kentucky Mules, using the Michters and, you know, little rest of the mule mix.
What bourbon were you using?
Michter. We actually used a Michter's rye.
It Michter. I call it Michter's. First of all, I love Michter's rye. It's one of my favorite ryes. This is going to slowly turn into a bourbon podcast, guys. Hold on one second.
How on earth do you get Michter's out of that? The CH before the T.
Why would they do that to you?
Because people have last names from the old countries. I don't know what to tell you, Zach.
We're slowly learning about maybe a little dyslexia that I have, I guess. I've always thought it was Michter's.
Yeah.
All right, Michter's.
Did you drink any Michelob Ultras while you were at it?
All right, let's move on. Talk about these mules.
Oh, yeah. So we did Kentucky Mules. We did beer and wine. We had like a full keg of Miller Lite. We had a full keg of Shiner, and there's
the people. Well,
yeah. Oh yeah. There's someone I also worked for a liquor distributor at the time. So I got those at like less than cost, but there was some unidentified person we've been married almost 8 years now. We still haven't identified who the girl in the green dress puking her guts out at the reception was. Like, not like at the reception, but like in a bathroom stall that like all the female attendees had to coach through, you know?
Yeah. I've seen, I went to a wedding once where someone was actually throwing up right after the ceremony.
That's impressive.
It started before the wedding. Yeah, between the ceremony and reception, went straight to the the forest that was the backdrop of where the wedding actually happened. And yeah, went to town back there, came back and rallied, which is very impressive.
We both live in the South. Have you ever gone to a Baptist, like, no alcohol wedding, just stinking drunk for the reception?
I don't know if it was Baptist. I went to one wedding. It was a Sunday morning wedding where the reception served like eggs and bacon. That was the most interesting. No dance floor. It's the only wedding with no dance floor. And yeah, no alcohol. So it wasn't like a true Baptist wedding, but it was definitely a dry wedding.
If I can't drink and burns it down on the dance floor, what am I even doing there? That's my thought on it.
Like, we're here to celebrate the bride and groom, but at the same time, I'm trying to party.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to get loose. I'm trying to grind on booties. This is what I do.
This is what I do. That's all I do.
Yeah.
It's my dance floor.
So, Zach, we had some playoffs. We had our play-in games. They didn't quite go as I necessarily expected.
No.
This is what I get for trying not to be a chalk-eating weasel. Sometimes when you're betting the AUDL, what we've learned is it pays off to just be a chalk-eating weasel. What was your just the take on the entire weekend?
Yeah, dude, outside of the first quarter of the Philly-DC game, everything else from the weekend just seemed lethargic. Like, the entirety of the Indy-Minnesota game felt kind of low energy. Philly, after the first quarter, didn't bring it at all. And then the San Diego-Salt Lake game was ugly. Like, that was a weird game to watch for it to be a playoff game. I think both sides kind of underperformed. So, yeah, my word of the weekend is just lethargic ultimate. I was kind of disappointed with the action we got.
Okay. Okay. Hate to be a stickler. Those are two words, but...
It's, I mean, we give out as many locks as we want in the pod. I could give out as many single word phrases to describe a weekend. I think it's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. So let's go ahead. Let's jump right into it. We had the Philadelphia Phoenix taking the party bus down to DC. And I was hoping this would turn out one way. You wish in one hand, crap in the other. See which fills up first. And this it was the crap hand because DC gets the 5-point dub, 23-18. But hey, big applause to the Philadelphia Phoenix. That's a
hell of a season.
I'm not sure anyone necessarily predicted them in that third slot. A lot of talk about Montreal, a lot of talk about other teams. But yeah, great season for the Phoenix. They got a lot to build off of. James Pollard is going to be a force going forward.
Yeah, I believe it.
Outside of turnovers, I don't have a huge take on this game. What was your opinion here?
Oh, shoot. Hey, you want to hear something funny before I do that? I went back before the season started. I went back and, like, predicted every game on a spreadsheet. You want to know what my Philadelphia final record was?
What's that?
1-11.
Woo!
Yeah. I did not think – first of all, they were only this great. One, they have talent. Sean Mott, Greg Martin, Ryan, great. But James Pollard, I mean, most improved player of the year. Easily. And so for the bets, me and Rod had DC minus 2.5. You and I were both on the over, and that first quarter ended 7-6, and it was back and forth scoring. It was some fast paced ultimate. So that over 43, I think it was at, or 40, even at over 44, looks like a lock.
Yeah.
The pace at which they were playing was incredible. And then Philly just lost it. Early mistakes from DC that Philly couldn't capitalize on. I think DC turned it over three times in the first three possessions, and Philly got no breaks out of it. And so if early capitalization on those, that probably could have turned the tide a little bit and given Philly more momentum. But DC took that as a gift and kind of rolled them. I think in the second quarter, routed all three straight breaks and then never looked back from there. Philly couldn't catch up. James Pollard had a hell of a first quarter. Literally, you heard his name on every offense possession, and then only to disappear in quarters 2 through 3. So it was kind of like fun. Like I said, the first quarter was phenomenal. It was some good, high-quality ultimate, very fast-paced. DC played their quick ball ultimate, which was a lot of fun to watch. But then everything after that was just like, who is this DC or Philly team anymore? So...
I think when you look at the overall just season series between these two teams, the main story between these two teams is consistency. DC was incredibly consistent every time that they played Philadelphia. I mean, when it comes to red zone scoring, when it comes to, you know, just valuing the disc, they were consistent. Whereas Philly just kind of faltered a little bit in terms of consistency.
Yeah. And I mean, DC has some players step up. Mox had a hell of a game with 2 assists, 5 goals. He was a pretty key handler in the whole thing. Boxley for DC played well. McDonald did not even have that great of a game, I don't think. He was a big reason for a lot of the early first quarter struggle their offense had. And so when McDonald's not playing well and your offense could still keep up, that's a good sign. Only 8 turnovers for DC too. So I talked about early first quarter turnovers. They've had 8 the entire game, and a handful of those came in the first quarter. So very impressive game from DC. I think it's clean ultimate. Not flashy, which, you know, is interesting because they got to go into New York and need to build some momentum. So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting what this number comes out to next week.
It's boring, but not flashy ultimate is winning ultimate, yeah, generally.
Yeah.
Exactly. High completion rate, short passes, it all just kind of plays into winning a game, you know, a match against another team.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I could go back on the stats and see where exactly they are when it comes to, like, completion percentage as a team. If you go here, they're ranked top in the country, 95.17%, which outbeats Empire. I mean, they're a very possessive offense. The small ball fits them perfectly. So that's kind of what they did to Philly. Philly couldn't get barely any turns. They had one break off, I think 5 opportunities. So yeah. Kudos to DC on that.
Super possessive offense, but when it comes to their personal relationships, not really jealous type.
No, not at all. Everyone gets, you know, a little piece of the action. It's kind of like Minnesota. They're the Minnesota of the East, but we'll get to Minnesota later. We did have a prop, though.
Ooh, how did the prop turn out? What was the prop?
Yeah.
Remind the prop folks. Was
James Pollard over 5.5 plus minus for the game against DC. So here was his totals on goals, assists, and blocks. He had 3 assists, 2 goals. Even with that alone, you're not going to get over it. Hit under, obviously. The man had a total of 6 turnovers and 1 drop. Finished with a -2 play. Like, he for real struggled this game.
Yeah.
I've had those games before where, like, you're out first quarter, you feel great. I've scored quite a bit in the first quarter. And then, you know, some of these better teams, they learn, they lock on, they make good adjustments. I don't know if Philly's coach really made those adjustments. I think they could have used an early timeout. You saw them use an early timeout in the second or third quarter. But they never use an early timeout in the first quarter. Try to get one of those turnovers to be a break to kind of swing momentum early for them.
Now, DC wins the ultimate prize. They get to take on New York next week in the battle for the East. Do you like DC's chances to make it a game? Because that's the big question. It feels like the small school turd in the punch bowl kind of team that actually makes it to the college football playoff. And congratulations, now you get to play Alabama. It's kind of the matchup that it feels like when you're going against New York next round.
Exactly. And, dude, I think they can, though. I think they can go to New York, make this a game. Maybe New York having a week or two off, at least 2 weeks off, doesn't bode well for them. I don't think their club team has had any tournaments, so they never had really any reps. Meanwhile, DC, I know last week they played Philly. The weekend before that, Truck Stop, which is DC's club team, played U.S. Open. Like, they're kind of rolling right now. They may have been a little exhausted in that game against Philly. That's why they weren't, like, super high energy, it looked like. But I like their chances. I'm also saying that because I've got a 35-1 ticket for them to win it all because I think that number was just outrageous when I saw
right.
it. And if they get through New York, big if, then they 100%, they'll probably be the second favorite to win, you know, to win
behind Colorado if Colorado makes it.
Yeah, exactly. I think DC can do it. Want to see more out of McDonald going into that game. But, I mean, if they just keep those turnovers low and don't allow New York's defense, because New York's defense has one of the best conversion rates in the entire league. So if they keep the turnovers low, then I think they for real will have a shot. This number may come in at like 2.5, possibly. Yeah.
My kid just made an appearance on the podcast. Say hello, Junebug. Or just stare blankly.
DC or New York.
Or just stare blankly. There we go.
Can you go say hi to
your
mom?
That's too much.
All right.
Back to reality.
Back to reality. First appearance by the kid on the podcast.
Congrats.
Big ups to Junebug. You are my motivation. I guess
learning the degeneracy early, I guess. I don't know if that's what you're going to allow your kids to. You're going to teach them about horse racing?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Grown? Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a skill that every adult should have.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. With this that, game's going to come in at around 2.5, which I think I may take a chance on DC. If it's any higher than that, then I will definitely take DC and the points.
Okay. So I like
early take.
I like that early take. I do. I think there's a good chance that that there could be it could be a closer game, closer than folks expect.
Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break here at the Tilted Landshark podcast. When we get back, we're going to get into the Indianapolis Minnesota game. We'll be right back. Thinking of joining WinBet? Now is the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. If you're betting baseball, you have to check out WinBet. Their reduced juice in baseball games makes them the best place to bet the MLB. Plus, WinBet Casino is always open 24 hours a day where you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And also, Win just released their first QB with 5 TDs prop bets. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now, what is Odds Trader? Odds Trader is the one-stop shop for you savvy sports bettors out there. It's a place to compare odds from all the major sports books. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from sports books to get the best deals. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, predicted game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, the number one site for all your game day bets. Welcome back to the Tilted Landshark podcast. I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn, and I've got Zach Michelob Ultra Vela with me here, and we are rolling through the last week's playoff games. We just talked Philly DC. Now we're going to talk Indianapolis Alley Cats. Minnesota Windchill, probably the best game of the weekend. Indianapolis kept it close. They, however, do not triumph. The Windchill gets the 2-point dub, 20-18, to set up the showdown with Chicago next week. Big takeaways here, Zach.
Yeah, Minnesota gets the cover, or no, Indy covers the 5.5. We were all on Minnesota. That line actually moved quite a bit from what I heard. It went all the way down to 4, I believe. Over under 43.5. That was an easy under. You can even tell from the game how windy it was. They going down one side of the field, they had to put a lot of oomph in their throws, right? So the under was an easy hit. Surprisingly, only 26 total turnovers in this game, 15 from Indy, 11 from Minnesota. And it's just, I don't know what to pin it on Indianapolis. I don't want to pin it on depth because they have Xavier on the D-line. And that guy launched an 80-yard hook from his own end zone halfway into the other end zone.
That's like That's four of my hucks stacked on top of each other.
On a perfect day, too. It was windy out there. I can't blame it on that. It's just,
if you look at the team stats, if you just kind of look at the box score and how it broke down, it looks that they're almost identical until you get to the break percentages and the D-line conversion percentages. Yeah. And that really seemed to be the story of the game.
And that's something we hit on earlier this year with Minnesota, is how high their break conversion rates were and how it felt like they put their best line on D-line, honestly. We kind of talked about that, and it kind of helped them out this game, outbreaking Indy 7-3, which is obviously the difference in the game here. So, hey, it's But it was, again, low energy, some stupid mistakes on both teams. It felt like Minnesota, if they would have played a cleaner ultimate, could have, you know, won by a little bit more. So they kept Indy around, which is shocking.
Yeah, you have a team that's just basically, I think of them as probably close to the best defensive team in the league, which is Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're just, you know, getting these turnovers. They're cashing in. That's the big thing. They cash in. They have a strong D line that can actually turn their defense into offense. And, you know, it showed up. So
they only forced 4 blocks this game. If we go back to their stats right here, if you guys give me a minute, by far the lowest all season.
Yeah.
Only forcing 4 blocks. Again, only creating 11 turnovers, which is also a season low for them. So that kind of helped balance it out. But they're a team that could get well into like 14, 15 blocks. They've done it plenty of times against Indy, but they just, the opportunities they did get, they were able to capitalize on.
I think we got another opportunity here. Say, all right, way to go, Alley Cats. Yeah. Once again, another team that who would have pegged them as the number 3 slot in this division, especially with playing against Madison.
Everyone thought it was going to be Madison. Yeah. And then now we got Minnesota going up to Chicago after watching a very unimpressive game from Minnesota. So it's kind of like, where do you think the book puts the number at? I mean, because recency bias says Chicago could, you know, win by 3 or 4 goals here with how bad I felt like Minnesota played.
I think you still see a number that's actually fairly close. I think that you might get another 2.5 kind of line. With Chicago being the 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and I may bite Chicago on 2.5 on that. I mean, I was so high in Minnesota all season, but then I've like realized how good Chicago actually is. And I think they're ready for Minnesota coming to town. They've got the series on Minnesota 2-1. So they've kind of got their number. So we'll see how that one plays out next week.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game. Do you think, just looking even past next week, do you give a legitimate shot to either Minnesota or Chicago to win it all? Because, I mean, you just mentioned you found a 35-1 for DC to win it all. You kind of think of them as an outside contender to be champions this year. Do you think we could see a Minnesota or Chicago champion?
I don't think Minnesota has a shot. If Minnesota pulls this off, I think it's an early exit from them. I think Chicago has enough firepower on the offensive end with Pavel Giannis and Ross Baker on that squad, on that offensive end, to kind of keep them into games against teams like Colorado or New York, or heck, even DC, if they make it that far. So again, I think Chicago has enough firepower to make it through. Minnesota, not as much.
All right. That wraps up Indy and Minnesota. Guess what? I know we just took one. We're taking another one. We're going to hit another quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Tilted Landshark. We're going to hit the last game of this, this previous week. Maybe we'll take a little peek forward to what's going on next week. We'll be right back. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool offers every game type under the sun, from Pick'em and Survivor to Fantasy Pools. It's a one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features that you don't get anywhere else. We've teamed up with Run Your Pool to host a pool for our official SGPN NFL Survivor Contest. Hop in now and reserve your spot. $500 cash plus a $250 gift certificate to the SGPN store to the winner. Sign up today at play.runyourpool.com/SGPN. That's play.runyourpool.com/SGPN. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. They just passed 4 million users, and now you can win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. First in eSport, you can choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. If you pick correctly, you can win from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. With the NFL season right around the corner, Sleeper is the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. The main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to just ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP, and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Welcome back, everybody, to the Tilted Landshark Podcast, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Listen, we've hit two of the games. This is the last one to recap from the last week. We had the San Diego Growlers heading to Salt Lake to take on the Shred. We all thought that it was upset Central, quite possibly, with San Diego taking on Salt Lake. Not the case. Salt Lake gets the 3-point dub, 19-16. And I honestly, this game to me broke. It was a tale of quarter one and quarter three. Salt Lake just got up early in the first quarter. San Diego showed some life in the second. Salt Lake then blows them out in the third quarter, and San Diego ends up winning the fourth quarter, but it's not enough to get the W. You know, it's sad times for here as we represent the Lallypap Guild. But once again, hey, way to go. Great season. Great season for the San Diego Growlers making the play-in game. We all thought that maybe they had this chance, but early on we drank the Kool-Aid of Portland a little bit early. Which the Kool-Aid was bad. It's the kind of Kool-Aid that leaves you dead in the jungle somewhere around a cult leader.
I get that reference. I got that one.
Way to go. Look at that. We found the sweet spot for references. Got to take them back to the early 80s/70s, and he's got them.
We'll talk about Waco next. But you talk about Salt Lake's early first quarter success. This game started with San Diego coming out on offense, scoring, and then getting a break up 2-0. Not only getting that break, on the third point, getting another turnover and almost breaking them a third time. This game was almost 0-3, which, looking back, could have been huge. But Salt Lake gets the disc back. They hold, and they go on a 6-0 run spanning over 12 minutes. Coming from the first quarter all the way into the second quarter. I mean, once San Diego broke with 9:21 left in the first quarter, they don't score the rest of the first quarter, which, like, is tough. I mean, you gotta ask what happened. I could tell you what happened. Paul Lally had a tough game. Let me ask you this.
We still love friend of the show, Paul Lally. Just throwing that out there. We do.
Let me ask you this. If Drew Brees, you're a Saints guy, if Drew Brees ever threw, you know, 3 interceptions, no touchdowns, threw for like only 150 yards. Let's just say the running game wasn't there. You think the Saints won that game?
With our defense? Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, say they're playing Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, because this is what Salt Lake City is.
Yeah, probably not. by the way, with Breeze's arm at the end of the career, to get those 150 yards, he had to complete 20 passes, roughly.
a bunch of hitch routes to Michael Thomas or Mike That's Thomas, right. And that was it.
That's right.
Yeah, Lally with, a -7 on the +/-9 turnovers, 1 goal, 1 block. It wasn't pretty. That's what happens when QB1, which is for San Diego, he's QB1, right? He's going to have the disc a lot. That's what happens when QB1 has a bad game is the offense has no flow, 28 total turnovers. Salt Lake got 17 blocks. And weird thing about this game, if you ever played in a stadium before, you may think at like chest and head height, the wind is fine, but the second that disc gets over 10 feet, wind is swirling. And you saw that because, I mean, Salt Lake loves to put the disc deep.
Yeah,
San Diego did that quite a bit too.
You mentioned putting it deep. I mean, let's talk about how they scored their points. I mean, zone, they were 8 for 10, but 62% on Hucks. They were putting it. They were doing their scoring, and they were doing their scoring from deep.
Yeah, and San Diego on the flip side, 5 of their 16 goals from Hucks and the other 11 goals from just working it down the field. They could not. I mean, you lose any sort of dynamic play when you can't huck it, and Salt Lake can start locking out, making the game longer, you know, 35 points total, which is well under the total of 43. That was
very low scoring West Division game, I would say. Yeah. That is a tiny, tiny point total for a Western Division game.
A big game for Salt Lake's defense to be able to, I mean, confidence boosters for their defense too. They've been switching up their lines a little bit. Some of their scoring, like Joe Merle, I think, played some defense in that game. Let's see here. Joe Merle played a little bit. They have another Martin. I forgot his first name. But yeah, they've been flipping some of their D and offensive guys back and forth just a little bit, kind of give them some flow ability on the defensive end. So they've kind of, you know, created a new game plan and going into Colorado, see if that defense could keep up the energy against an arm like Nethercutt.
Yeah, so now Salt Lake, we've set up a rookie bowl basically in this division playoffs, because we've got Salt Lake heading to Colorado to take on the Summit, which I honestly, once this could be the best game of the upcoming weekend, quite possibly. Of course, we haven't even mentioned Austin and Carolina yet, which could still be a good one. But looking forward to it. I mean, I think this could be the matchup of matchups, the one that the people want to see, the one that's going to produce the Sports Center top tenses.
I'm hoping the game resembles the one they had earlier this year when it was 21-20. Colorado beats Salt Lake. I mean, in that game,
great Rush album, by the way, 21-20.
21-20? Yeah. It's 21-12.
Fuck.
Funny story about that. You know how the album cover has a kid in the stars climbing, I think it's a Pentecost, right? Am I saying that right?
If you say.
Yeah. Whatever. It's a satanic sign. My parents got me that for Christmas Eve.
It's a pentagram, buddy.
Pentagram. Costgram. Pentecostal is a religious thing. A religious sect. But pentagram. And my parents gave that in front of my uncle, who was a pastor. And my mom realized it halfway through pulling it out. I was like, you know what, Zach, let me show you this back here. And so, had my
enjoy this devil's music, baby Zach,
which is funny because my family is a pretty religious family, but they knew I was a big Rush fan. So it was pretty cool.
By the way, I'm taking my shots at Zach this episode, but I would like to point out that Zach unequivocally is smarter than I am. If we were to do a test of intellect, Zach runs away with it.
Yeah. I also, putting me behind a microphone, this is brand new to me. I can't be this quick. Imagine me trying to disc jockey live. That would be a disaster.
Well, I would like to play a lot of Rush.
Yeah, that would be easy.
From now, for everyone's favorite Pentecostal band, Rush. Everyone's favorite Canadian Pentecostal band.
Salt Lake, Colorado. They had a really fun game earlier in the year. Colorado came back, beat them 21-20 at 21-12, but it was a fun game to watch. So hopefully we get a rematch of that. This game could be close. I think Salt Lake's offense could keep them in it.
Where do you think we see a spread lower than 2 points? Do you think this falls in the 1.5 range?
Dude, this one possibly. I could also, as much as I think Minnesota, Chicago may go, you know, 2.5, 3.5. That one they could put at 1.5. I don't think there's any spread on this slate that's going to go over 2.5 goals.
That makes sense. Yeah. And I mean, hey, that's kind of what you expect to see going into these sort of caliber games. You expect it to be close. You expect these games to almost be pick'ems because they are the best teams in the league. They've proved it week in, week out.
Exactly. But yeah, it'd be fun. kind of two, like you said, rookie teams going out for a playoff spot. Colorado's got a lot of playoff experience with Nethercutt and Carolina, and they have, you know, Fruit and Matt Jackson, who played on Dallas on a championship. They have some champions. They have some champs on their team. So I think they've got more of the veteran, you know, swag to them than Salt Lake does.
Okay, so if it's Salt Lake, if it's Colorado, what do you think the odds are that this one produces your overall, your champion for the year?
If it's Salt Lake, it will be a fun run because I want to see that offense go against other teams from other divisions. If it's Colorado.
With Salt Lake, with a Huck happy offense, you got to think that a team with the size like New York would definitely present an issue if they
Chicago.
Chicago also. Hell, Minnesota, if they made it, they're also a pretty tall lineup.
Yeah. DeClercq will probably just eat them up. But it'll be interesting. And then I think Colorado has a shot to just make it to the finals and give New York a hell of a game.
Feels like what we've been marching towards all season, a Colorado New York final.
Johnny Bravo's having their club team out of Colorado, which has most of the Colorado Summit squad. Their club team is rolling. I mean, semifinal to final finishes in all these big tournaments they've been going to. So this team is clicking right now. The city of Denver Ultimate is clicking right now. So the Colorado can make a good run at the trophy.
All right. That was game three. We're going to take one more last break, and then we're going to wrap this show up. We'll be back with more Tilted Landshark podcast. Everyone wants a custom experience, and the folks at Trade Coffee are here to give you that. They've got expert tasted coffees. They've got a first match guarantee. That's right. They're so confident that they're going to match you with the custom roast that you want, that they will take your feedback and the actual coffee expert will work with you to send you a brand new bag for free if they don't get it right the first time. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. Listen, we have all been in a situation where we are light on cash, but you know what? Your old buddy Dave is here. Dave is the banking app that'll help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to put in your tank, buy a wedding gift, catch up on bills. You can tackle those expenses with the help of your old pal Dave. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. Future you will thank you. Welcome back to the Tilted Landshark podcast. We did our jobs. We wrapped things up, but we're going to go. We're going to be extra Amish about it since we're talking religion while we're at it. So we're going to take a quick look. Let's see what we got on the slate for this Saturday, which we will be previewing in depth later this week. We've got Austin, Carolina this Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We've got D.C., New York, also Saturday, 7 Eastern. And then 6:30, the forgotten time zone, Mountain Time, Salt Lake takes on Colorado. What are you most excited for in these three games?
Dude, I'm kind of excited for DC New York just because I'm holding that DC 35-1 ticket.
Yeah.
And I think they have a shot at it. It'll be a fun upset to watch and not even see New York go to Madison. It's possible. I'm going to watch it just for the fact that, you know, we could watch something big happen Saturday night.
I'm going to make a prediction, and that's going to be in the Austin, Carolina game. And that's going to be sloppy ultimate. Both the teams coming off the 1 week layoff. I think you might see a little bit of rust. Yeah. A little bit of rust combined with a little bit of nerves. Cause this is the game to go to Madison. I think it might be a little bit of an interesting one in terms of just like anticipation, great matchup, Salt Lake, Colorado. You're right. Is the one to watch. I think you said DC, New York, but you're right. Salt Lake, Colorado will be.
I could be right, and that can also be just an excellent game to watch. I want to see if Salt Lake can like turn it up just a little bit. That offense again struggled against San Diego has been a struggling offense for the last few weeks of the season. So see if they can turn the knob there, turn a corner, turn the wheelhouse. You know, they're going to turn something around to get that offense clicking.
There we go. There we go. You got anything planned? What'd you say?
We got one more game, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right. They moved it to Sunday.
They moved this one to Sunday.
4 p.m. Central. God's time, Minnesota, Chicago. I think this also has a chance to be a pretty good matchup just because these teams are so familiar with each other. I feel like the styles of play somewhat similar, or at least, you know, styles make fights a little bit with the size of the Minnesota D line. You know, it's gonna be an interesting one.
If all four matchups we get every team at its peak, I think the Chicago Minnesota game will probably be the most exciting game.
All right.
I think they're the two most evenly matched teams when everyone is clicking. So this Sunday game could be also very exciting. I'll be on the road from Indianapolis. So be a nice little watch on the way back.
There we go. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us here at the Tilted Landshark. Like I said, we'll be back later this week. We've got some point spreads. We'll have some totals. We've got four just killer games to talk. Oh, buddy. It's getting down to the nitty and or gritty. Speaking of gritty, you know who one of my favorite rappers was when I was a kid?
Flip Flop?
MC Hammer!
Oh.
Or you're nothing. We will catch you next time.